This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya arhamar rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a blessed gathering for us, a gathering in which we increase our love and muhabbah for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a gathering in which we increase our appreciation for his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've been going through different aspects of his life, and we've reached roughly around the fifth year of Hijrah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tonight we're going to see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was dealing with a lot of external enemies, people that were trying to drown out the light of Islam and trying to stop the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the message of Islam, from people from hearing about the message. But not only did he have to deal with external enemies, he had to deal with enemies within his own community. And he had to deal with attacks against his own family. So today we're looking at a moment that was very difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family. And there's so many lessons that we can gain from this lesson this evening, inshallah ta'ala. It was the fifth year of Hijrah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had heard that there was a group, Banu Mustalik, that was planning to attack Medina. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hear about a group that was going to attack the Muslims, many times he would head out first and just go after, like, you know, the best defense, they say, is a good offense. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many times he would head out first. And that's what he did. He heard that this group in Bani Mustalik, they were going to attack. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered around 300 companions. And he said, let's go. We have to go take care of this. And whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would travel for one of these journeys, he would always bring one of the Azwaji Mutahara, one of the our mother, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, one of the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would go with him. And on this journey, it was our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And if we remember who Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is, she is the one where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by a man, Man ahabba an-nas ilayka ya Rasulullah. Abdullah bin Amr bin As, he asked the Rasul, who do you love the most? Because he thought it was him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, more than anything. I love her more than anything. And then the man asked, Thumma man? He said, Abuha. And this story today, this incident today, touches both of them so deeply. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out. There was a small battle that took place. One Muslim passed away in the battle, but the battle isn't the real story. As they were coming back from the battle, there was water that they settled down near. Obviously, the desert, there's a lack of water. So they found water and they settled down, the Muslims. And there was one person from the Muhajireen and one person from the Ansar. So just so we remember, the Muhajireen are those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and they settled in Medina. And the Ansar were the people in Medina that brought in and welcomed with open arms. But there was still some jahiliyyah. There was still some of the days of ignorance that remained within us. And so they're at the water. And while they're at the water, this person and that person, they start fighting. And the narration says, إِذْدَحَمَ رَجُلَانِ عَلَى الْمَالِ الْأَوَّلُ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالثَّانِ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ فَكَسَعَ الْمُحَاجِرِيُ الْأَنصَارِيَ. They were at the water. Something happened. Maybe one dude was trying to take water before the other. We don't know. But they started fighting. And the Muhajir hit the Ansar. The moment the Muhajir hit the Ansari, he yells out, Ya lil Ansar, O Ansars, come help me, come help me. And the Muhajir immediately, he says what? Oh Muhajireen, come help me. And the moment the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he responded so profoundly. He said, Ma balu da'wat jahiliyyah. Ma balu da'wat jahiliyyah. He goes, what is this call of ignorance I hear? Meaning that us calling to our people and identifying ourselves other than anything as Muslims is something of jahiliyyah. My people, your people. No, Islam, we're one. And the moment we start clicking up, the moment we start, oh, my people, your people, and we see this till today, subhanAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing he goes, ma balu da'wal jahiliyyah, what is this call of jahiliyyah that I hear?
And they came to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, they were fighting. And the Muhajir hit the Ansar. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, Da'uha, da'uha fa'innaha muntanina. Stop, stop this, it stinks. That's literally what he says, this stinks. Meaning, one group saying the other group hit them, this is us, this is all of us together. There's no groups amongst us. And then he says something profound. He says, لِيَنْصُرِ الرَّجُلْ أَخَاهُ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. He said, listen, you have to help your brother regardless of the fact of if they're the oppressor or the oppressed. The Sahaba, they were like, well, Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean? We understand what it means to help someone oppressed, but how do you help the oppressor? The Prophet ﷺ said, by grabbing their hand and stopping them. But what he did was profound. He shifted the focus from a muhajir hit an ansari to this is our community. It doesn't matter who it is. We're all one. Now, when this happened, there's still like munafiqeen amongst us. And as I mentioned before, the hypocrites were people that converted openly, but inside they hated Islam. They were upset that Islam had come to their city. They didn't like my immigration. They would definitely, never mind, I wasn't gonna say it, but they didn't like migration, immigrants, none of that. Send them back. They didn't want anyone over here except who was there from the Ansar. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulud, he was the leader of the munafiqeen, leader of the hypocrites. They told him what happened. And he starts causing more fitna. So he says, see, I told y'all, you kept letting these people come to our place. You kept giving them money. You kept giving them resources. And then he said some words that it's almost... some scholars, they would not even repeat it because of what he was talking about. He said, the example of us bringing them in is like an Arabic saying, سَمَّنْ كَلْبَكَ يَأْكُلُكَ, which is, you feed your dog so much, one day it bites you. But he's talking about Islam. He's talking about the Muslim. He's talking about, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So word is spreading. And now, instead of this fitna quieting down, the fitna was actually like spreading more. So in that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does something amazing. And the purpose of this halaqa is to appreciate the beauty, the brilliance, and every amazing aspect of who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. In this moment, we're out in a battle. We were just fighting against the enemy, but all of a sudden, there's fitna amongst us. And the haters amongst us love to see us fight one another. They love to see it. They love to see that fitna. So in that moment, Rasulullah ﷺ does something. It was the middle of the day. It was the time of the day where everyone stops travel because it's too hot. Rasulullah ﷺ in that moment, he says, everyone get up, we're leaving. Everyone's like, right now? Like it's like Texas heat, midday. It's too hot, y'all. We're leaving. Everyone packs their stuff. They get everything together. They head out. They're on their way. They're leaving. Headed back to Medina. The narration says, وَأَمَرَ بِالسَّيِّرِ فِي غَيْرِ أَوَانٍ. He told them it's time to go, but it wasn't normally the time that they would leave. And so they kept on going. They traveled the entire day, the entire night, and the next day. So the Sahaba were at a point, it was midday the next day, that they were exhausted. Scholars say, like the problem was he needed to keep them busy so the fitna doesn't keep growing. He needed to get them to do something because so long that they were just chilling, all in their feels, as y'all say, right? All just in their emotions and thoughts, so long that they weren't doing something, the fitna was growing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, everyone get up, we gotta go. Now we're too tired for fitna. We're too tired to argue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he travels. He goes the entire next day to midday. And finally, midday, he says, everyone stop, we can rest. The Sahaba, they say, subhanAllah, that the moment we stopped, we barely laid on the ground, we fell asleep. Fell asleep. The fitna of a day and a half ago was gone, but we fell asleep right in that moment. So he handled this moment of a potential breaking of the community. And before I go to this next moment, which is really epic, I want us to appreciate the unity in the community that has to be there. That we stop the identification with all the other identities. One of the things that brings people into Islam is this idea that regardless of what you look like, you're Muslim. If you look at Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X, one of the things that was most profound on him is when he went for Hajj, he realized that color didn't mean anything. So how are we here in 2024 where back again our communities sometimes divide on these same issues? Language, color, this and that and the third. So Rasulullah, he told us, he said, no, break this, stop it completely. But something else happened on this journey. In this journey, the munafiqeen first started a fight amongst us by making us remember our own nationality and not who we are as a group. But something else happened. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the pure, the righteous, the one that has such a high maqam, highest levels of knowledge, highest levels of purity. She tells a story, and we're going to listen to her because it's her story. She says, whenever the Prophet ﷺ would travel, one of his Azwaj Mutahara would go with him. And she said, it was my turn to go with him, so I went on this journey. And she says, I went on this journey, and she says, back in those days, they used to put, I used to ride in a carriage on the back of the camel. So it was like closed off. So she could chill. She would be comfortable inside the carriage on the back of the camel. And she said, whenever we would stop, they would take it off the back of the camel. They would put it down. And then I could do whatever I needed to do. She says that we finished this battle. We were on our way back. And we stopped somewhere. And now, subhanAllah, the story is profound because we know why he left abruptly. He left abruptly because of the fitna that had just happened. This is the same moment. So she says, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's time to leave. And it was sudden. I didn't expect it. She says, so I got up when he said it was time to leave. And I walked off so that I could relieve myself. And I went to use the restroom. I relieved myself. And she says, I was on my way back. And I touched my chest and I realized my necklace was gone. She lost her necklace. قَدْ إِنْقَطَعَ It broke. She's like, no, I need my necklace. I ain't leaving without my jewelry. I gotta go back. So she goes back and she looks for it. She goes, and while I was gone, the men came over and they picked up my carriage. They put it on the back of the camel and they dipped. They left. And she says, like, you know, I was young. And she goes, we were in a time of drought. We didn't eat a lot. So she's like, I was very light. They didn't notice that I wasn't in it. So she says, they didn't realize I was young. And they left. She goes, I came back to where the camp was, where the whole army was. And there's no one there. There's no one there. It's empty. Open desert. Everyone's gone. فَجِئْتُ مَنَازِلَهُمْ وَلَا بِهَا دَاعٍ وَلَا مُجِيبٍ No one's there. It's empty. So, subhanAllah, I'm always amazed when I read this. She goes, فَأَمَمْتُ مَنْزِلِي أَلَّذِي كُنْتُ بِهِ She goes, I just stayed where I was at. I was just, it was funny the other day. We were in the car, me and wifey, we were just, you know, so we were talking to one of our kids. I was like, yo, so if you were lost somewhere, what do you do? If you look around and we're not there, what would you do? And so my oldest, she was like, oh, I'd be chill. I would just sit where I was. I would look for someone, you know. I wouldn't run around. I would stay where I was at. So Aisha, in this moment, she says, I stayed right there. I didn't move anywhere. I didn't even worry. She says, well, ظننت أنهم سيفقدونني. She goes, I knew they would miss me. They'd realize I wasn't there. And they'd come back and get me. فَبَيْنَمَا أَنَا جَالِسِ She's like, I'm sitting there. I'm laying there. غَلَبَتْنِي عَيْنِي فَنِمْتُ Teenagers love to sleep, y'all. Y'all be sleeping like how many hours a day? SubhanAllah. She falls asleep right there in the open desert. SubhanAllah. وَكَانَ صَفْوَانَ Now the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah was whenever the whole like army was moving, he would always keep someone in the back to pick up anything that dropped. So whole army, things fall. Having one person in the back is brilliant. Just pick up anything. She goes, so I was laying there. And فَأَصْبَحَ عِنْدَ مَنْزِلِي Safwan, he's in the back by purpose. The Prophet put him there, a sole individual person to come behind the whole army. And he's walking up and from a distance, he just sees this black like cloud on the ground or something there. فَأَتَانِي He came close. فَأَرَفَنِي هِنَ رَآنِي He looked at me. I was sleeping. He looked at me and he saw me. He knew exactly who I was. وَكَانَ يَرَانِي قَبْلَ الْحِجَابِ. He saw me before hijab, so he knew who I was. She says, I woke up because he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. ضَعِينَةُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He goes, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ. We come from Allah, we return to Allah. The wife of the Prophet just laying here in the open desert. وَخَمَّرْتُ وَجْهِ. She says, I covered myself because I was sleeping, so I covered myself. And she says, وَاللَّهِ مَا كَلَّمَنِي كَلِمَةً. He never said a word to me. His haya, his decency, he never said a word to me. He just brought his camel over. He sat it down. I climbed on the camel and he walked it in. She says, وَلَا سَمِعْتُ مِنْهُ كَلِمَةً غَيْرَ إِسْتِرْجَاءٍ. I never heard him say any word to me, except when he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. She goes, so he takes me all the way back until we catch up to the rest of the army, and it's midday now. And now the Sahaba and the Munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they're all there. Now they're waking up from having slept. When the Prophet ﷺ stopped, they're all waking up. And as they wake up, they see Safwan coming by himself with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And these are her words. She says, when they saw us coming, قَالُوا مَا قَالُوا. They said what they said. They started to talk. وَهَلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ. And those who were destroyed by what they said. We're going to see what's going on in a moment. And then she says, when we got back to Medina, I got sick. I got sick. And she says, I was sick for like a month. And she says, and I didn't know, I had no idea that people were spreading rumors around about me throughout the entire city. People were talking about me. They were accusing her of zina, fornication. The munafiqeen saw this moment and they said, oh, I saw one guy coming with one sister. Oh, they must have did something. And they're spreading this in the community. She goes, وَلَا أَشْعُرُ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. This righteous girl, this righteous woman who has never even thought such foul thoughts ever in her life. She goes, I had no clue. الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ غَافِلَاتِ. Like unaware of this type of stuff, completely unaware. She goes, the only thing that I noticed during this month is قَدْ أَنْكَرْتُ مِنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللُّطْفَ الَّذِي كُنْتُ أَرَى مِنْهُ. She goes, I noticed that there was something bothering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She noticed, she's so close to him that when you know someone close, you could tell when something small is off, the smallest thing you're thinking about. Right? Sometimes I'll be going to sleep and my wife will tap me. She'll be like, stop thinking. I'm like, how you know? She's like, it's been 12 years. I'll be like, I know you. Stop thinking. Just go to sleep. So subhanAllah, she goes, I didn't see the same him. There was something that was bothering him. But she says, I had no idea. She goes, until one day, she goes, kharajtu, I went out with a woman by the name of Ummi Mista. Her name was Ummi Mista, the mother of Mista. And she was our cousin, kind of like our cousin, meaning her, the mother was actually the cousin of Abu Bakr. So like second cousin, you could say. So she goes out to relieve herself with Ummi Mista. She says in those days, when we had to use the bathroom, then we would get a bunch of girls together, we would all go together. Y'all still do that today. They still be going, brothers, we don't do that. Like, bro, I'm going to bathroom, come with me. Nah, bro, we don't do that. We don't do that, bro, that'd be weird, man. But sisters still be like, oh, come with me. So Aisha, I guess this sunnah never changed. Aisha, she goes, me and Ummi Mista, me and the mother of Mista, we went to go relieve ourselves. And she goes, in those days, we used to relieve ourselves way outside of the city. We didn't have bathrooms near our houses. She goes, فَانْتَلَقْتُ أَنَا وَأُمِّي مِسْتَى. And she goes, we went out. وَأَقْبَلْتُ أَنَا. We were on our way back. We were done. We were on our way back. And when we were done, Ummi Mista, when she was walking, she tripped in her abaya. Right? Her abaya is in front of her and she trips in it. She trips in it. And when she trips, she says, تَعِسَ مِسْتَى. May Mista be damned. Now Mista is her son. Right? But she just said it kind of like out of nowhere. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she's kind of like, Like, why would you say that? Astaghfirullah. She goes, bi'sa ma qulti. Like, why would you say that? That's your son. And Misqa, subhanallah, is a sahabi from Badr. There are so many lessons for us this evening, subhanallah. He's from Badr. And Badr are people that are the top of the top of sahaba. They're the top of the top of sahaba. So she goes, ta'isa Misqa. May Misqa be damned. And Aisha goes, bi'sa ma qulta. Don't say that. That's not good. So she looks at her and she goes, sister, you don't know what he said? And Aisha, for the last month, she has no clue. She goes, ma qala. What did he say? Fa akhbaratni. Aisha tells us, she goes, she told me everything the people said. She goes, فَأَزْدَتُ مَرَضًا عَلَى مَرَضِي. I was already sick, now I got really sick. I'm devastated. I'm someone that has never, I've lived a life of righteousness. And now all of a sudden, I'm finding out that people are saying something like this about me. Like this story tonight is about anyone that no one really believed you when you said something happened to you, or you were blamed when someone saying you did something that you didn't do. And you know between you and Allah, you're free. She goes, قَالَتْ Aisha, فَجِئْتُ أَبَوَيَّ. She goes, the first thing I did is I went back to my mother and father. I went back to my parents' house. She comes in and she's weeping. Her heart is broken. Just imagining what's going on, the whole community talking about this. And she goes, يَا أُمَّتَاهُ يَا أُمَّتَاهُ. Oh, mom, مَا يَتَحَدَّثَ النَّاسُ. She says, what are the people saying about me? قالت, her mother had already heard everything. Everyone knew. She says, هون عليكي. She goes, try to relax. She's trying to calm her down. She goes, you know, whenever there's a beautiful girl whose husband loves her, everybody hates on her. She's trying to make her daughter feel good. She goes, you're beautiful and your husband loves you more than anything. That's why you got haters. That's not helping Aisha at all right now. قالت فقلت عائشة goes سبحان الله she goes ولقد حدث الناس بهذا she goes people are actually saying this is setting in that people are saying this about me and I need you to imagine this righteous soul that has grown up in the house of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq has grown up every day hearing about Islam remember we said before she goes I don't remember a day except that the Prophet came to our house we always were Muslim. We were always Muslim. She says, does my dad know? She's broken, y'all. She's broken. She goes, does my dad know? The mother says, naam. Faqultu. She says, wa Rasulullah? My husband? Rasulullah, does he know this? My mom goes, naam, wa Rasulullah. Naam. She says, wasta'bartu. I screamed. I shrieked. That shriek, you know, sometimes someone in your home ever got a phone call of some bad news, astaghfirullah. You know that shriek when you hear it and you're it's like your heart stops. She shrieks. She shrieks that everyone heard this. She goes, well, but Kate, I just started crying, uncontrollably crying. She goes, wasemiya Abu Bakr. My father was on the top of the house reading Quran. Now, I want to stop here for a moment. What is he? Where is he and what is he doing? At this moment of fitna, where rumors are spreading about his daughter, he's on the top of his roof reading Quran. There's sometimes when an issue is so big, your only recourse is connection with Allah. So he hears his daughter and he comes down. He comes down and he says, what's going on? He didn't know what the scream was about. He comes down, what's going on? Her mother goes, she found out. He starts weeping. I mean, I told y'all, we read the seerah over and over again, but it hits different. I never read this story. I haven't read this story so deeply being a father before, y'all. But as a father, I connect to Abu Bakr so deep right now. His eyes well up with tears. And he says these words. He says, no household has gone through a calamity like we're going through right now. And then he says something. He goes, He goes, we never did this in Jahiliyyah. How would we do it in Islam? Allahu Akbar. He goes, we wouldn't do this back in the day of Jahiliyyah. We were good people. You think we would do this now? But he's weeping now. He's weeping now. No one knows what to do. It's been 30 days. No revelation of Quran has been revealed. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't know how to handle this new situation. Because you guys got to understand something. He's not only dealing with this as a husband, he's dealing with this as a prophet. Someone who legislates. Like, what he says is Sharia. His ruling is like a qadi, a judge's ruling as well. So he calls the closest people to him. Osama bin Zayd, that's like his grandson. He calls Ali. And he says, what do y'all know about our family? They both say, Ya Rasulullah, we only know good about this family. There's nothing bad about this family. Your family is a good family. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Zainab binti Jahash, his wife. And one of the reasons he called her is because her sister was one of the ones spreading the rumors the most. The sister of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's. So the Prophet's wife, not the wife, the sister. How many times the people in the situation are good, but it's the friend, it's the other person spreading the fitna. Girl, yo. SubhanAllah, Zainab bint Jahsh, clean, I'm not saying nothing. Astaghfirullah. But her sister, radiallahu anha, she was the one. He calls these close people and they all say, our family is a good family. Aisha's a good girl. There's no way. Rasul ﷺ, he comes out onto the minbar. This is the first public address. How do you handle this? How do you handle accusations in Islam? He doesn't know. There's no revelation. How do I handle this as a husband? I don't know what to do. Rasulullah ﷺ, he goes on the minbar. He gathers everyone. He knows what everyone's talking about. He says, Ya ma'shar al-Muslimin, man ya'dhuruni min rajulin qad balagani adahu min ahli bayt. Like, please excuse me for what people are trying to say about my family. Please excuse me. Like, subhanAllah, excuse me for what people are trying to say about my family. Wallahi, I only know good from my wife. Wallahi, I only know good from her. And then he speaks about Safwan, because I told y'all, Safwan was a good man, radiallahu anhu, he's from Badr. He goes, and wallahi, I only know good of Safwan. Shahida Badr, he went to Badr, he's this, he's a muhajir, he's a good man. So one of the Ansar stand up. Now remember, we got to stop for a moment. Remember we said amongst the people in Ansar, before the Prophet came, there were two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. And they always had a little bit of like beef before. So now one of them stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, if it's someone from our tribe, we'll take care of him. And if it's someone from that tribe, we'll take care of him. When he said that, the other tribe goes, you ain't gonna do nothing to anyone from our tribe. And now, instead of this being about clearing the air, another fight starts to break out. And they're arguing, no. And subhanAllah, I need you to envision it. The Prophet ﷺ is saying to this person, shh, please sit down. And the other person stands up and he goes, shh, please sit down. And before you know it, now their boys and their crew are jumping. And the Prophet ﷺ is just quieting everything down. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he just goes back. He just goes back. He says, everyone, stop, stop. Da'uha fa'innaha jahiliyyah. This is jahiliyyah. But you know what I want you to see? Look how rumors cause more fitna in the community. Look how spreading, and this is in families. This happens most in families, subhanAllah. Because now people start taking sides. And instead of it being about haq and truth, it's all about our people. And what you'll notice is when fitna comes in the family, two groups break up right away. Right away. There's one group that just is on this side. The other group is on this side. Where's the truth? Where's the, let's get to the bottom. No, it's just about my side and your side. We lose focus on adal. We lose focus on justice, and it just becomes about defending people that agree with me. So Rasul Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, back to her. She goes, That whole day passed after the Prophet ﷺ went on the minbar. She goes, that whole day passed. And she goes, I couldn't stop crying. I'm heartbroken. I can't handle this accusation and what people are saying about me and what's spreading around the community about me. She goes, I couldn't sleep either. Her sickness had doubled, and she can't stop crying. She's devastated is the word. She's devastated. She goes, فَأَصْبَحَ أَبَوَيَّ عِنْدِي. I was with my parents, and I cried the whole day and night, and my parents are just staying with me. She goes, I thought that my heart would break. She actually said, like فَارِكُ الْكَبْدِي. Like, I thought that my liver would burst because of what I was going through. She goes, another lady from Ansar came to sit with me and be with me. And I let her come in to just help me. فَجَلَسَتْ تَبَكِي مَعِي. She came in just to cry with me. Sometimes you just need somebody to cry with you. Don't talk, to just sit here and cry with me. That's it. فَبَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ. We're sitting there like that. It's the day after he went on the minbar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in. فَسَلَّمَ ثُمَّ جَلَسَ. This was the first time we actually were talking, like we had able to talk about this since it happened. There was no revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know how to handle this as a leader, as a statesman, as a leader of the community. He didn't know what to do. Before I go forward, I want you to understand something that's amazing about the character of the Prophet ﷺ. He never let the community see him as an impartial leader. He never let the community see him as an impartial leader. Like, subhanAllah, there's one moment where the Prophet ﷺ was talking about the had or the punishment for stealing. And we know how much he loved Fatima, right? So he says in that khutbah, he goes, if Fatima was to steal something, the punishment would be applied to her. The punishment would be applied. He always showed the community that haq is haq no matter who. It doesn't matter where it is. The haq is a haq. So he used the closest person to him that the whole community knows. This man loves Fatima more than anyone. He loves Fatima more than anyone. She's the one that resembles him the most. SubhanAllah. And he goes, if Fatima was to steal, oh Fatima, the punishment would be given to you as well. There's another moment. I want you to distinguish between the Prophet giving a legal ruling and acting as a leader for the community, but then having a other understanding as well. There was a moment where there were two Sahaba that had a kid from, there was a woman that had a baby in Jahiliyyah. Right, y'all following me? And so there was a dispute about who should take the father. Who should take the child? And so when the Prophet ﷺ looked at the evidence, it was clear that the baby should go to one family. So he judged, but then he told Sauda, he said, but you should wear hijab from this kid. So despite the fact of him ruling that it goes there, between him and Sauda, he said, Sauda, you should still wear hijab. Meaning he gave a ruling on one side, but his heart still, when he talked to Sauda, he said, but my heart feels like this. I'm giving a ruling as a leader. I'm a judge. I have to lead this community. One of the things that Rasulullah ﷺ, we have to understand in this moment is he's a leader and he has to show impartiality. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. I can't speak on what I don't know about. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he comes in. And he tells her basically, in this moment, you need to focus on Allah. I can't do anything. He says, فَتَشَهَدَ رَسُولُ. He comes in, إِنَّ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. He reads some praise of Allah. And he says, أَمَّا بَعْدْ يَا عَائِشَ. فَإِنَّهُ قَدَ بَلَغَنِي أَنْكِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. I've heard what people are saying. He says, فَإِنْ كُنْتِ بَرِيئَةً. If you didn't do anything, Allah will exonerate you. وَإِنْ كُنْتَ. If you did something, seek forgiveness from Allah. Meaning this is general advice to anyone in this moment. If you are free, Allah will clear your name. And that's my message for all of us is like, we've all been in situations where no one believed us about something or we were accused of something we didn't did. And you're like, SubhanAllah, what do I do? In this moment, the Prophet ﷺ is like, focus on Allah. He goes, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدِ. a servant, whenever they commit a sin, if they do tawbah, Allah accepts the tawbah. He's reminding her, focus on Allah. This is between you and Allah will clear your name. What happens to her when she hears that? She says, the moment I heard him say that, قَلَسَ دَمْعِ, my tears stopped. My tears stopped. She said, I couldn't cry. It was done. She goes, I looked at my dad. I said, أَجِبْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. She goes, I said to my dad, Dad, say something to the Prophet. Abu Bakr looks at her and he says, what heaven will cover me and what earth could hold me if I spoke about something I don't have knowledge about? Y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. You ever had somebody, my kid would never do that. Mera beta? Ibni? La. La. He would never. He would never. I love the old days, because when, I sound old, I'm doing unk mode. It's all good. Y'all just haters. When I was a kid, if the neighbor gave me a spanking, my mom would be like, good. Good. What happened? Okay, cool. Like, I wasn't automatically good. Subhanallah. Now, subhanallah, we defend our children irrespective of anything. Irrespective. Doesn't even matter. I don't even care if my kid was right. Why you say something to him? Don't even matter. My kid would never do that. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is not about, oh, this is my kid. He's about Haq. His name is Siddiq. He won't speak. He's like, how can I speak on something I don't know about? What me and you are thinking is, Dad, defend me no matter what. Abu Bakr is like, we're people of morality, yo. We're not people of emotion. You want me to stand up? I already said to you face to face that our family would never do something like this. But to give testimony, public testimony about something I never saw? He goes, what? I can't say anything. He didn't accuse her. But he didn't speak on what he didn't know about. Because, and this, I want to highlight this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught, there's the verse of Quran is, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bil qist, walau ala anfusikum. Like, stand up for justice even if it's against yourself. It doesn't matter you're my kid. Wrong is wrong, haq is haq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq one day, many years after, when his father converted, yeah, probably gonna take. So he saw his father, his father converted. So his father said, you know, son, they were reminiscing. He goes, you know, back at the day of Badr, I saw you in the battlefield and I went the other way. That's what the dad said. Abu Bakr said, Baba, I didn't see you. And if I saw you, I wouldn't have went the other way. Like, this was for Allah. This was for Allah. That family relation didn't mean nothing. This is for Allah. And now think about how many fitnas come up in our family and people just chose a side. Don't even know the facts. Don't know nothing. You said it, girl, I got you. Bruh, I got you. Habibi, don't worry. Bruh, I went through the same thing. I got you. La hawla wa la quwwata. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he goes, what sky can cover me? What earth could hold me if I spoke a word that I truly don't know about? To me, that speaks honor, that speaks principle, that speaks justice. She looks at her mother and she says, Ummi, Ajib, say something. Her mother says, what can I say? In this moment, Aisha comes to a realization that is so profound. She goes, I was young. These are her words, not mine. She goes, wa ana jariyatun hadithu sin. She says, I was young. I didn't know a lot of Quran. I knew a little bit of Quran, but I didn't know a lot of Quran. She goes, but I knew something. She says, inni wallahi laqad alimtu. She goes, I knew this. She goes, y'all heard something. And because you heard it, it came into your heart. There's no way of getting that out. She says, if I say I didn't do it, you won't believe me. But if I, and Allah knows I didn't do it. She goes, but if I say I did it, you'll believe me. She says something so profound, which is why we have to be careful of a community about what we share. She says, لَقَدَ سَمِعْتُمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ حَتَّى إِسْتَقَرَّ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. You know, you share something. You know how many times, subhanAllah, we deal with this in the media, dealing with Israel and everything. They say a lie, and then once it's said, they never got to come back and revisit it. 3 weeks later, we find out, oh, they was lying straight up. But it's gone now. We already heard it. And the lie just keeps going. She says something so profound, which gives us insight why we never share what we don't know about. Because once it's said, you can't unsay something. You can't undo it. So she says, I didn't know a lot of Quran. I didn't know what to say. She says, I didn't know a lot of Quran. I didn't know what to say. So she says, all I could say to y'all. And she says her words. She says, I was so flustered. I couldn't remember Yaqub's name. So she said, Abu Yusuf, like the father of Yusuf. She was so flustered, she couldn't get his name. So she says, all I could say right now is the same thing that the father of Joseph said. She said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ She has this moment of clarity in the eye of the storm. I can't control society. I can't control what people say. I can't control any of this. There's literally nothing I can do. And it's in the moment that you realize you're helpless, that you're strongest, if you turn to Allah. If you turn to Allah. She goes, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ That's why she stopped crying. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help me in this moment. She says, oh, by the way, the Quran isn't just a book of stories. These are stories of inspiration. These are people we look back at for our hard moments too. You're dealing with an abusive husband, Asiya. You're dealing with a disobedient child, Nuh. You're dealing with a belligerent father, Ibrahim. You're dealing with siblings giving you a hard time. Exactly. At least they ain't throwing you in a well. But it's inspiration. These aren't just stories. These are lessons to look back and gain inspiration from. As Allah says, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ That I gave you these stories to make your heart strong, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she says in that moment, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ I love this moment. Because despite the pain, there's a clarity at that moment. That is only Allah, me and Allah. She says, ثُمَّ تَحَوَّلْتُ I turned around. She says, And I laid on my on Farashi. I laid on my bed. She's not crying. She goes, Wa ana hina idhin a'lam anni bari'atan. She goes, I know I didn't do anything. Wa anna Allah, she goes, and I knew Allah would clear my name. She goes, but I never thought Quran would be revealed about me. She says, I thought I was too miskeen. I was too. She says her words, kana ahqaru. I was so small that Allah would speak about me. She says, the most I hoped would happen is Allah would show the Prophet a dream. And then he would wake up and he would tell the revelation. She says, I would never imagine that Quran would be revealed where Muslims recite it to the Day of Judgment. She says, we were right there. I laid down and I thought to myself, I am free. She says, in that moment, revelation started on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew when revelation came that he would be burdened down. It would force him to the ground, and he would sweat, like yes, he would sweat, like she said, like very profusely sweat in the middle of the winter. So she knew. So she says, Subhanallah. She says, right in that moment, hatta innahu la yatahaddaru minhu araq, sweat started to come. I saw, she's lived with him. She knows what revelation looks like. She sees it's coming right in this moment. وَهُوَ فِي يَوْمٍ شَتَى It's winter too, it's freezing at nighttime. She goes, فَأَمَّا أَنَا As for me, when revelation began, I was smiling. She goes, but my parents, they were sweating. They didn't know. They don't know. They have a husna dhan, but who knows reality? Allah. She goes, Amma ana, when revelation began, fa amma ana, she goes, ma fazi'tu wa la ba'alaytu. I wasn't worried and I didn't care. I was good. She goes, wa amma abawayya, with my parents, oh, they were going through it in that moment. Hatta dhanantu la takhrujanna anfusahuma faraqan. She said, I thought they were going to die out of the anxiety of waiting for the revelation to end. And then the revelation stops. And when the revelation stops, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looks up, and the first thing he does is he smiles at Aisha. She already knew. She already knew. You could see her in this moment. She already knew. He smiles. And the first thing he says is, Ya Aisha, Amma Allahu faqad barra'aki. As for Allah, He has exonerated you. Right in that moment, her mother was still there. So her mother says, Qumi ilay. Go hug him. I want to read this with respect. I don't want us to read this in any derogatory way, but it's so profound. She says, Wallahi la aqumu ilayhi wa la ahmadu illallah. She goes, Wallahi, I'm not going to stand to him, but I'm going to praise Allah first. Every person must have their own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many relationships break, and because the relationship broke, your relationship with God breaks? You ever heard of that? Every one of us has to have an independent, exclusive connection with Allah. And in this moment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, she goes, right now, it's a me and Allah moment. Right now, it's me and Allah. I have to praise Allah. I got to do shukr to Allah. After that, I'm going to meet everybody. I'm going to meet my mom. I'm going to meet dad. I'm going to go to the Prophet. I'm going to hug him. But right now, she goes, all it's about right now is me and Allah. And to me, that's so profound. Because she showed us a moment. She showed us something that there'll be times in life when you must realize all you have is Allah. That's it. And her words were strong. She says, La aqumu ilayhi wa la ahmadu illallah. She goes, nope, right now is a moment for me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the verses, the Prophet recited the verses. And I want us to go over these verses because they're a lesson for the community. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatum minkum. Those who brought this lie, they're a small group from amongst you. La tahsabuhu sharran lakum bal huwa khayrun lakum. Allah says, don't think that this moment was bad for you. It was good because we learned so much from it. There was so much the community gained. See, hold up. Let me stop for a moment. How do we learn the rulings of stealing? How do we learn the rulings of various things that happen? We learn those rulings because they happened in his lifetime. And because they happened in his lifetime, we learned the ruling from it. So we have the ruling now. Do you know, subhanAllah, this is going to sound severe, but I'm not going to hold back. This is beautiful. The ruling for those who accuse a person of zina without witnesses or anything is 80 lashes. For accusation, why? You might be like, Sheikh, yo, I thought you was chill. I'm chill, but I'm going to keep it real too. Because a person's honor is the most sacred. Have you ever seen something where someone committed suicide because of their honor lost? A teenager in high school committing suicide because their honor was lost? A young person committing suicide because their honor was lost? Honor is like life. Names are precious. So Islam says, if you don't know, don't speak. And if you speak, your speech will have consequences on you. Protect people's name. It's beautiful, y'all. It's beautiful. So the Quran says, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. Don't think this was bad. This was good for you. There was good that came from it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ اكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Everyone that spreads some of those rumors, they get a share of the sin. Brothers and sisters, you like, you share, you repost. I heard a sheikh talking about this. He said, this is so important in the age of social media. You read something, some of us are smart. We won't reshare, but we'll like it. And now likes is private too. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. La. If you don't know, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. What we should have did is when we heard it, the first thing we thought was good. Good. وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينَ This is lies. These are lies. Why are we listening to this? لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ Why don't they bring four witnesses? This is where the Quran teaches us. If you accuse someone of zina, you have to have four witnesses. فَإِذْ لَمْ يَعْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءَ فَأُولَيْكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ If you don't have the witnesses, Allah says you're a liar. Don't speak. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ If it wasn't God's blessing upon you, then the punishment would have came in this dunya for what you were talking about. إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ When you were spreading it around on your tongue. Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Let me explain. SubhanAllah. One day the Prophet ﷺ, he came out of his masjid. This is a separate incident. He came out of his house and he came to the masjid. He said, don't tell me stuff about people. I want to come out to the masjid with a clean heart towards everyone. I don't want your garbage. Don't give me other people's garbage. I want to come out to the masjid with a clean heart towards everyone. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you were spreading this with your tongue. وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ You said with your tongue, مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ That which you had no knowledge about. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا And Allah says, but you thought it was small. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٍ But it is big in the sight of God, meaning someone's honor is big in the sight of Allah. Someone's name is sacred in the sight of Allah. If you don't know, don't say anything. لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ Why not when you heard it? Why didn't you say, مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا We shouldn't be talking about this. And I want to say something. We need to be more courageous, y'all. When someone comes and backbites to you, we need to build courage to stop them, yo. A lot of us don't have backbones. I'm going to just tell you this. You heard me say it before. The one that will backbite to you will backbite about you. You just the person of convenience right now. I'm going to say it again. The one that will backbite to you will backbite about you when you're not there. You just the person that's in front for today. Stop them. Have the courage. Like, yo, chill. You ain't hear the holocaust? Like, yo, chill. Please, I don't need to hear that right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ He says, indeed, those who love to see indecency spread in the community. Listen, this is a sickness, y'all. This is a sickness. Listen closely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that sometimes in our hearts, we love to see fitness spreading. Na'udhu billah. We just love to see it spreading. Antashi' al-fahisha. Just it spread around. This person knows, that person knows, that person knows, that person knows. We get excited as we see it spreading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is not the akhlaq of the believer. This is not the akhlaq of the believer. I want to share one more thing. One of the people that spread this rumor was Misthah. Remember him at the beginning of the story? Misthah was kind of poor, radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, actually before this incident, he used to give him a stipend every month because it was his family. When this happened, after these verses were revealed, not before, because he doesn't know. He cuts off Misthah completely. Cuts him off. That's my daughter. That's my beloved daughter. That's everything to me. And you'll say that after I've been taking care of you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse. What's the verse? Allahu Akbar. Tuhibbuna an yaghfirallahu lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَسَعَةِ Let not those people of wealth and honor, let them not take oath that they won't help people. And then Allah asks a question, أَتُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ Allah says, do you want Allah to forgive you? When Abu Bakr heard the verse, he said, بَلَا He heard it. He heard the question, do you not want Allah to forgive you? He said, yes, yes. He started giving Mr. double what he gave him before. He started to give him double what he gave before. Here's the thing. Forgiving people is not about the other person. It's about you and Allah. See, a lot of us struggle with forgiving. How could I ever forgive that person? It's not about the person. This is about you and Allah. You having a clean heart and going to sleep every night with a clean heart. Your heart is clean with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, what was the motivation for him to pay double? Not, oh, do you want to be close to him? Do you want him to love you? No. Do you want Allah to forgive you? Yes, I'm giving him double now. Mista, I don't care what he does. My relationship is with Allah. You know, Ahmed bin Hanbal, we got to wrap up. It's almost Maghrib time. Ahmed bin Hanbal, he was being flogged. He was being flogged for not doing what the Khalifa at the time wanted him to do. And after the flogging, they asked him, you know, what was going through your mind when you were being punished? He said, every time I was being punished, I forgave the one that was flogging me. And they said, how? Like, what were you processing in your mind? He said, I know that the Prophet loves everyone in his ummah, and I didn't want to be the cause of bringing the Prophet ﷺ sadness by cursing someone from his ummah. Meaning it had nothing to do with the person. It was about me and my relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this moment, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is not about Mista anymore. And that's what a lot of us have to understand. This forgiveness, letting go, doing good to people, irrespective of what they do, is about you and Allah, not about you and the person. And so much as you're able to look above that and make it about you and Allah, you're able to see past that and become the better person. Everyone's like, how you being so good to your dad? He's been absent. Da, 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 da. How you being so good to your mom? She was never around. Da, 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 da. You're like, yo, this ain't about her. I need Allah. I'm going to end with this. There was a companion, subhanAllah, that he came into the masjid 3 times in a row. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he's a man of Jannah. You heard this hadith before. And then one of the companions, he went to stay at his house to watch him. He stayed at his house for 3 days. He was watching him, trying to see what he did special. At the end of the 3rd day, he told him the truth. He said, I just came to watch you. That's why I was at your house, because I heard the Prophet say this about you. He says, but you don't do anything special. Like, you read Quran like us. You work like us. You pray tahajjud like us. You don't do anything special. He goes, yeah, what you see is what you get. Sahaba were like that. There was nothing. What you see was what you get. So that the one who came to watch him, he turned around and he was leaving. He called him back. He goes, wait, there's one more thing I do that you couldn't see. He's like, what is it? He's like, every night I go to sleep, I clean my heart for any ill feelings toward any other believer. When the Sahabi heard that, he said, that's it. That's what made you a person of Jannah. It wasn't Quran. It wasn't a lot of prayer. It wasn't a lot of sadaqah. It was going to sleep every night with a clean heart. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's daughter was accused of something that in their society and our society is unimaginable. It broke his heart. It ruined his name. And the one that did it, he started to give him double what he used to give him before. That's Islam right there. That's Islam. But the true hero of the story is Aisha radiallahu anha. She has taught all of us, men and women, how to handle a situation where the world won't believe you, but you have a connection with Allah. And at the end, you know, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. May Allah accept from us, inshallah. May Allah accept, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What time is Maghrib?